Are you happy to be alive? So, because we're such a huge group, I want to invite you to come up here and make a circle with me to pray. Because we're family. And this is about family. Is that okay? So I want to begin with a family prayer. Let's just make a circle. Come on up. Anybody who wants to, let's join hands here. And Cheryl, you have the grave responsibility as people come in. You're the door, so you just keep opening the door to let more people come in the group. No, no, no. You two are the door. So as people come in, you open and let the circle get bigger and bigger. No problem. This is your opportunity. Isn't it fun to see how we come in? You just see, you start praying, you get ready to pray, and people start coming. If I would have started 5 minutes ago to pray, maybe they would have come sooner. So, on this beautiful afternoon, we want to just invite God to be here and make this time count. So, I want to invite us to have sentence prayers, just very short prayers, and we're not going to go around the circle because some of you might be thinking, I don't want to pray out loud. That's fine. You don't have to. But I'm going to ask my brother right here. And I have a terrible memory. Don't say it. Don't say it. Does it start with M?
Yeah.
Is that Michael?
Yes.
Oh, I love it when that happens. If you'll start. And then whoever wants to pray, just one sentence prayers. Think about your family needs. Think about other what you need to see God do on this campus. Just one sentence prayers. And then when it gets quiet, then I'll have the last prayer. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you for each person that you brought here. I humbly ask that you would make this a divine appointment for each one of us and you. So, you shape what happens in this meeting. You make it timely for each of us and the families we represent. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise and none for any of us in the circle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I invite you to find a seat as close to the front as possible and you'll be as cool as possible. And you also make better grades. 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 So come up close and it's much, I tell you, I don't think it's too bad up here with the breeze, is it? Not too bad. So this is fine. You can sit up in the front row. It's fine. I guess no one likes the front row. That's okay. Good. That's still pretty good. You can still get at least a B. Okay? That's pretty good. Oh, well, you know, considering that you're a professor, I think I'm going to let you call the shots on that one. Okay? Well, welcome to each one of you. Yesterday, how many of you were here yesterday? I see a lot of the same faces. Okay. I should say at this meeting yesterday. Pardon me. How many of you were here at this meeting yesterday? Let me ask again. Let me see your hands. One, two, three. Hold them up real quick so I can kind of see. Okay. Most of you are here. So I gave a challenge yesterday. And every day this week, I'll give a challenge for what happens in this time. Something to try out. So the question is, what did you do with this challenge? The challenge for those of you who were not here, if you want to take your Bibles, was to go to Matthew. So if you want to open your Bibles to Matthew, do you have Bibles? Do you have access to Bibles? Yes or no? Maybe some? Okay. Okay. So Matthew 14, and the assignment was to read verses 22 through 33, to read it and to look for one thing. What were we supposed to look for? Who remembers? Yes. Yes. We were supposed to look for Jesus because Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 39 says, these are the scriptures that testify about me, is what he said, right? So I was challenging us to think about the influence that we would have to take a story in scripture and to look for what it says about Jesus and to share that with somebody on campus. So I invite you right now in twos or threes, everybody needs to team up in twos or threes, ask the people around you, what did you do with this challenge? If they were not here, you can still turn to this passage and look at it briefly together. But if they were here, ask them, did they find anything about Jesus that jumped out of the pages to them? And did they share this good news with somebody? Okay? If you weren't here, no problem. You can still turn to that passage if you have it on your phone. So I'll give you just a few moments. Okay, everybody. I'd like to hear some discoveries you made about Jesus from this one story in Matthew 14, 22 through 33. And just short discoveries, just like in a sentence or two, what did you discover about who Jesus Christ is from this story? Anybody? Starting right here.
Jesus knows the right time to intervene.
Oh, yes.
12 hours to come to the disciples who were rowing their boat across the sea. Mm-hmm. And he instantly reached out and helped you. Immediately reached out and helped you. So sometimes he lets you kind of wallow in it for a while because that's what you need to do and you recognize that you need him. And sometimes he snatches you right away.
Did you hear over there? He says Jesus knows just the right time to intervene, right? Timely. He's very timely. Amen? So good. More insights. Give me just short insights like that. Just a sentence or two. Yes. 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 So if you didn't hear up here, Jesus spent the night with his Father in heaven before this incredible miracle story. And by the way, there is a huge connection between those two points. And we don't usually think about it. But in Scripture, we love to share all the miracle stories, but the backstory of that is what happened between Jesus and his Father when no one else could see. Amen? And by the way, I'm coming to you next, okay? But by the way, how's your backstory going on? Are you tracking with me? In other words, if you want your life to be more full of the power of God, do you have a backstory like Jesus did? Like what's the quiet part of your life that maybe few or maybe no one even sees? Is it rich with your Heavenly Father? Or are you hoping so much for all of the exciting things above ground, you could say, or out front, or public? Are you hoping so much for that you don't have time for the quiet story every day between you and your Heavenly Father? That's just a searching question for us. Keep going. Next insight. Yes. She said she thinks that Jesus Christ knew they were in trouble, right, before he went down. Okay, keep coming. Yes, right here.
When it seems like there's an impossible gulf between us and the Savior.
Yes.
God is, Jesus is anxious to provide them to me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Peter, I'm willing to know if you're going to
come to me. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good. Good. And I don't know who's next. Right over here, and then we'll come over here.
I think you talked about when Peter was slipping, and he said, help me, Jesus.
Yes. He helped Peter immediately. Jesus is beside us all the time. Next one here.
Last year, the element of the baby, every instance that he does,
yes. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Jesus is right here, he said, yes, and don't doubt.
Daniel, but this is something that I've never seen here before, that Jesus not only had faith to be able to walk in the dark, but he had faith in Peter that he could walk in the
through the power of God, right? Mm-hmm. Good. Now, yes. Mm-hmm. He sunk when he feared, you're saying. Yes. Mm-hmm. He saw the waves. And so on this day, yes, one more.
Something I just thought of while we were talking about. It says that the disciples saw him talking to the family. So it's easy for us to mistake Jesus or the action of God for something very different.
Yes.
You know,
and sometimes
in our lives, and we think it's something terrible. In fact, we want to.
So we could be afraid of something that God is actually in. Yeah. Powerful. Good. Now, if you're wondering, why are we spending time in a searching scripture about Jesus when the title of this is about for family? Are you wondering that? I hope it doesn't offend you, but guess what? If we would be more caught up in our homes with making discoveries of Jesus and sharing what we just shared just then, it would be an influence for good in our homes. And it would also be a talking point between us, those of us who are married, us and our spouse. Like, what did you discover? You can say to your spouse, what did you discover about Jesus today? Whether she's in Romans or your husband is in Revelation, you know, whatever they're in. Find out, what did you discover? And this could be a good influence on the home. Simple, good influence.
Because yeah. It's in our homes where we individually relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, is in our families, in our homes.
Yes.
It's not just out in the public that we are with Jesus.
Right.
And we are talking about Jesus, just like here, mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about the Lord, and it gives us an opportunity to express ourselves
mm-hmm.
in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen to that. Now, it's a good thing. It is even a crucial thing for us and our families to be in the Word every day privately. Sometimes we can make our family worship more important than our private worship. And I would challenge us not to do that. Even with children. Even with children. Now, we have to start out somewhere. But even when our children are little, I would urge us, even though in my home, we believe that family worship is precious, it's important, we want it to happen every day, but we have told our children from even little, your time with Jesus is even more important than the family time altogether. Because someday, I told them when even they were little, someday you will leave our home and you'll either have your own personal relationship with Jesus or you will not. Are you tracking with me? So, if you have family worship in your home right now, even if it's just you and your spouse, because maybe your children are up and gone, or whatever, or if you have children or grandchildren that come, yes, have family worship. And I'd love to spend more time on that later this week, because family worship is a dying thing in Adventist families. It's a precious thing to have. But if there was one more thing more precious, it would be to foster and encourage everybody in that home to have their own private time in the Word and in prayer, encouraging that. If you have kids or grandkids and you wonder how to do this, you can do the simplest things even before they know how to read. You can get them even a little Bible, just even a picture Bible, and start teaching them. We know you can't read, but we want you to start thinking about it. There's pictures of the Bible. Soon you'll be able to read, and you'll be able to read it for yourself. But now you can even start looking at the pictures, and you can pray to God in heaven about the pictures that we have taught you. Are you tracking with me? We need to start teaching them that they need their own special. Remember yesterday, you need to have a time to meet with God, or at least know when you're coming to have that appointment. You need to have a place. Some people say today, well, Pastor Don, can't you pray anywhere? Yes, you can pray anywhere. Absolutely. And I go different places, but you know what? I kind of know the night before, usually, where I'm going to meet with my Savior the next day. And because it's special to me. So I think ahead. And I'm open. If I wake up in the morning and God wants to have me meet with Him a different place, fine. But I don't want to just be like this. Oh, I don't care. No, I do care where I meet with God. Do you care where you meet? So we even want to teach our children, we were saying yesterday, and teach ourselves to have a time and a place and then also a plan. Remember from yesterday, know who you're looking for. You and I are looking for Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. This is our focus. Now, next thing. These are building blocks. And today is, by the way, I went up, and let's see if I point the right way. I probably a little bit turned around. The horse barn is kind of that way, right? Am I pointing the right way? Kind of. So I went way past the horse barn, way up into the woods early this morning. And that's where I read this story that we were just asking about. Remember, I challenged you to read it? So that's where I read it. And I'm going to make it very personal to me. So as I read it, I looked first for Jesus. And I was amazed again that He has authority over the crowds. Okay, because He sent them away. He had authority over the disciples. He told them where to go. He had authority over something else. What else? Nature, the waves and the winds. I was touched again that Jesus Christ has authority over everything and everybody. And He impressed me that I needed to make sure that I am under His authority today. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But then I did the next part, which I didn't really stress yesterday, because I just wanted you to have one focus on the assignment. I said, God, where do I need to step out of my boat? Where do I need to step out of my boat for You? Because I said, Peter asked You 2,000 years ago, invite me to come. And I said, Jesus, You said, come. And so Peter obeyed You. And so I'm asking You this morning, out in the woods, invite me to come to You wherever I need to leave my comfort zone. Are you tracking with me? And this is the next precious part in our families and in private of being in the Word. Not only to stop with finding a new revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's step one. But step two is, what are we going to do with this message today? What are we going to be with this message today? And so then I did a what I call a dangerous thing. I use that word in a positive way. In other words, an exciting thing for me is I had my notebook and I said, God, I am ready for You to invite me to step out of where I'm comfortable, and I'm going to take notes. So whatever Your Holy Spirit wants to bring to my heart and mind, just have at it. And I said, You can talk to me about stepping out for You in my marriage, in my family, in my finances, in my local ministry, in my ministry that I do globally around the world. You just tell me where You want me to step out. Because the point of this story is first to show us who Jesus is, and I believe secondly, to call us to step out of our comfort zone. What do you say? And you know what?
What you're doing right now is something we all need to do. We need to step out of our comfort zone and get more involved with Jesus.
Amen.
And talking with Jesus, and I think that is the most powerful thing, because Jesus has the power, He has the ability, mm-hmm. He has everything to change our lives. And to make it different for us, and to help other individuals to become closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I need not just myself. I need to help others to do the same.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, I appreciate your comments. Because you've been walking with Jesus way longer than I have. And so you bring wisdom to the table that not only blesses me, but every other believer right here. Can you say amen to that? I love it when those that have been walking with Jesus in the church speak up. So now I'm going to put you to the next part. In your teams, of you can be twos or threes, have your Bible open and ask each other, where is Jesus impressing you through this story You always want to base it in the written word. Through this story, where is he calling you today to step out of your comfort zone to take a step of faith towards Jesus Christ? Is that fair? Are you tracking with me? Yes or no? Yes? No? Yes? So just check in with each other. Look around you. Make sure everybody has somebody. We have one brother back here. I'm not trying to leave you out. So maybe somebody can help me there. So team up in twos or threes and just ask each other, where is God calling you to step out of your comfort zone to be stepping out in faith for Jesus Christ? Okay? Matthew 14, sorry, verses 22 through 33. So I'm going to give you just a few moments to ask each other that, okay? Okay, everybody. So, think about where God is calling you to step out. To step out of your comfort zone. For me, one of the things that God told me, and He gave me about, He impressed me about 12 different things this morning. God was on a roll this morning. You know, if we will wait on Him, I always find out He has more ideas to share with us. If I organize the time and I lead out in my time in the Word, then I will hear less from Him. He still will want to meet with me. Are you tracking with me? But if you wait on Him after you're in the written Word of God, then the Spirit of God has time to be the teacher and actually bring you applications to all kinds of our parts of our life. And so He just was just going along. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to wait. Several times I thought, I wonder if I should run back. I almost missed breakfast, but I had a good time with Jesus. Good time. It was worth it. So that was my main breakfast before my pancakes. Now, one of the things he impressed me to do to apply this to step out of my comfort zone is to be watching more watchful as I walk on campus for God's appointments. Now, this is something I pray for all the time. Every day I pray. But just as I say that to you, I can also miss many by being too focused on the next thing I'm about to do. I'm just being real with you. So, in our families, by the way, if we would pray for divine appointments with every member of our family, the Holy Spirit is waiting for us to do this. But if you ask for this, remember that He will continually take you out of your comfort zone to do what you don't want to do, what you're not comfortable to do, but what would give glory to Jesus Christ Himself. What I'm about to tell you that happened, actually, was with two young people, one of which is related to one of you here. Either one of your children or grandchildren. I know, because I matched it up with somebody here. Here's what happened. I came down from the hill in the woods, and I'm walking, and I'm thinking, now God, I want to help, have your help from the Holy Spirit to now live this passage that we just read. See, it's not just to be in awe of. Scripture is to show us Jesus, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live accordingly. So I'm walking down and I'm thinking, God, oh, help me to have eyes to see where You're calling me out of my comfort zone to do something for Jesus. And so I'm walking down, and way ahead of me, I see the horse barn, and I see some people working down there. And so I'm thinking, oh, I wonder who's down there. I hope I don't scare them, because they're not seeing me come, and just they think they're just by themselves working, you know. So I come around the corner, and here are two young men, maybe middle-aged teens. How's that? Middle-aged teens. And so they're sitting there, and I waved to them and greeted them warmly and cheerfully, and I'm thinking, breakfast, breakfast, breakfast. That's where my mind is going, breakfast. And I passed them by, and the Spirit of God said, what did you just pray? I was like, that You would call me out of my comfort zone and help me to be on point with whoever I meet. I was like, oh, that's right. That's right. That's what I just prayed. Ah, so I said, is there something you want me to do in my conversation with those two young boys before I make it to breakfast in time and don't get in trouble with the boss here? Okay? And so, and the Spirit of God said, turn around. And so I went back and I said, young man, I said, I have a question for you this morning. Now, this was a blunt question. It was not what it's much easier to say, good morning, guys. Are you going to go swim today? Or, you know, just talk like that. It's much more comfortable, right? And God was calling my heart. I said, young man, I said, this morning, have you taken the time to ask for the gift that Jesus has promised you? Now, where that came from, well, it didn't come from me. That's not what I was getting ready to ask them. But that's what God impressed me to ask. Now, that's a very blunt and bold question to ask two teenagers on this campus. And do you know what gift I'm referring to? Yes, but I wasn't using that term. I just said, have you taken the time this morning to ask for this gift? And they said, no. But one of them said, but I know what you're talking about. Isn't that precious? That I know what you're talking about. I said, oh, and I said, well, what do you think about asking for that gift this morning before you guys start going through your day? And because the Spirit of God had gone ahead of me, and I believe by faith, he arranged it for those boys to be right there. They could have been anywhere else on campus. They were right there, right when I passed by. This is not happenstance. In your families, by the way, if you pray, God, take me out of my comfort zone to have conversations with my children, my grandchildren, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, whatever your context is, your friends. He will arrange this, not in your time, but in his time. And so, before I say any more, let me tell you what I was referring to. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, this is what was uppermost on my heart. Because in the youth tent each morning, I am calling out for revival in the morning. Yes, at the youth tent at 9:30 to 10:30, calling out for revival. And this morning it was on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just shared the raw word of God with the teenagers. And so, in Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, check this out. Because even though I wasn't saying this to the boys yet, this is where my mind was. Because I just had been reading it up in the woods. Would someone read verse 4 and then someone read verse 5?
On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak
about. Amen. And then verse 5, someone else. Acts 1, verse 5. Who has it? Yes.
Amen.
So I asked the boys, and I was praying. Oh, I was praying. I said, God, you have to help me. Because without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can offend, we can put off, right? And I thought, these boys don't know me. And they've seen me around probably back and forth, but they don't know me. I'm not their friend yet. And so I said, I need your help. And the Holy Spirit impressed me to be bold with these boys. And so I said, what I'm talking about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Have you boys asked for this gift? And the boys looked me right in the eye and they said, we know that this was promised 2,000 years ago at Pentecost. But we did not know we could ask for this gift now. That's powerful. Powerful. See, they're tracking already. They were not put off. It was a setup from heaven. And I said, boys, I said, would you like to ask for this gift now? And they looked me again right in the eye. And remember, I'm a stranger. At least one of them for sure I was a stranger to. They looked me in the eye and they said, yes, we would like to ask right now for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Precious, precious, precious. It was a divine appointment from heaven. And so right there, with the horses all around us, I just said, you know, let's just take a few moments. And we prayed around the circle. I cried out to our Heavenly Father. I said, here's two young men I said, I can tell they love you. They believe in you. They even believe in this gift. They just didn't know they could actually ask for this gift right now for today. And so they're asking you, Father. And I said, so would you be so good to give what you've promised these boys? And to me too. I need the gift as much as they do. And don't you need the gift as much as they do? And so I prayed, and then each boy prayed, humbled their heart before God. Precious prayers, bold prayers, young men reaching up to heaven and saying, God, in their own words, they said, God, this is what I understand we're supposed to ask of you for today. Would you give us this gift today? And then I said, boys, I said, now, I'm going to breakfast. And here's the deal. I want to challenge you to live your life today according to how the Holy Spirit leads you. You've asked, I've asked for this gift, so this day is not ours, it's His. So see how the Spirit of God leads you. I'm hoping I'll run into those boys again today, or maybe tomorrow morning, I don't know. And I'm going to ask them, what did the Holy Spirit call you to do and to be? Now, in our families, many times we have something that needs, something's going on in many, many of our homes as Seventh-day Adventists that needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the issue is this. Go with me to Ephesians. Okay? Ephesians. And in Ephesians, so go to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians, oh, pardon me, chapter 4. I said the wrong one. Chapter 4. And we want to read verses 26 through 32. So I'm not going to start until you're ready. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 4, 26 through 32. So, Michael, would you come up and help me? And then I'm going to ask for one more. I need one more person. Michael, and would you come up and help me? Okay? We're going to read like in a row. Okay? Come on up. And those of you who don't have Bibles, this will help you so you can still follow along. So Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. So I'll start with 26. We'll go like this. Just like this, and we'll curl around. Okay? Are you both ready? Verse 26. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
Neither give place to the devil.
Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need.
Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear.
Amen. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Oh, how are we supposed to forgive? Look at the last part of 32. To what level are we supposed to forgive? What does it say? Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you, which means a different standard than I want to use to forgive you, right? As my brothers or sisters, or in my family. It's the standard of Christ. I'm supposed to forgive in my home like Christ forgives me. Wow. Okay, thank you both for that. Now, let's think about this. How many of our homes today need forgiveness? We need a lot more forgiveness, right? Right? A lot more forgiveness. So many of our homes have forgiveness issues going on. And they're not rectified, and they go on and on and on. And then we wring our hands when our children are having struggles with God Himself, or they leave the Lord, or leave the church, or whatever. But forgiveness, as well as being in the Word, are two basic core things that need to be in place to make our home a disciple-making place. Forgiveness is what invites the presence of God to be there in a special way when His forgiveness is happening. But how many of you need help right now forgiving somebody in your life? Anybody need help with somebody that's... I'm asking a real question. Like, is there anybody here that that has somebody that's maybe wronged you or hurt you, and you're praying right now about somebody to forgive in your life. If not, I don't want to waste your time if I'm wasting your time. Is this a relevant topic? Okay. So, who's the one to help us with that? Let's think about that, because sometimes we do this. Watch my knuckles. Sometimes as Christians, we white knuckle it. You know when your knuckles get white? And we say, I've got to forgive my wife, even though she did A, B, C, D 70 times, 7. Oh, I've got to forgive her again. And you wives, sometimes you have to say, God, I'm trying to be a godly wife. I'm going to try to forgive my husband again, even though he wronged me again. And sometimes our children, little children, our grown-up children, sometimes we have to forgive them or even ask for forgiveness, and we do it by white-knuckling it. And it doesn't go so well. In fact, sometimes when I've tried that in my own home, sometimes I've even had my own children confront me and say, Daddy, are you really forgiving me? Because, see, when we try to do it on our own power, it doesn't usually come out so well. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like comes out. You know what I'm trying to say? It comes out in a way where they don't feel forgiven. Right? So who's the one to help us with this matter? The Holy Spirit in particular, because He's the one who brings all the good things in His train. Spirit of Prophecy says, right? All the good things. So many of those good things are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, you know, all those, self-control, all those fruits of the Spirit. Forgiveness isn't stated in the fruits of the Spirit, but it's a work of the Spirit of God. And He is willing to do surgery on our hearts and our family, really, to bring forgiveness even in the most messed up family dynamics. I mean torn up family dynamics. Let's think about how this looks, okay? I'm going to be very practical with you. I need, let's see how we can do this. I need two people to help me real quick. I'll start out, I'll tell you what, let me do this first, and then I'll ask two people to help me. Here is a fairly dry sponge. It's a little bit damp because of this illustration in the youth tent this morning. Were you there this morning? Sorry, you're going to have to see it again. Can you handle that? That's okay? Okay. So this morning, this eventually got wet. But I'm going to do a scientific experiment with you, and you be observant. I'm going to toss this to this group here. You toss it around until it gets all the way over to the brother in the blue right over there, okay? Or the brother in the white. It's your choice. But I want you to toss it around, okay? Toss it up and down until everybody on each row, at least each row has somebody that got it, okay? Now, as it goes around, I want you to see how it goes. When they toss it, toss it over across the way. How does it throw? Is it easy to toss? Is it easy? Is it accurate? How does it toss? It's light, but is it accurate when it's dry? Not so much. Not so much, right? And guess what? This is what you and I are like when we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have light impact on our families for the cause of Christ. Now, we can have negative impact, like heavy-duty impact. I'm not saying we can't have impact. I'm saying we have light impact for the cause of Christ. Very, very little lasting impact without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we wonder why some of these issues go on and on and on. Right? Is it because maybe we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians in the end of time should be crying out for the very gift that these two boys this morning were willing to humble themselves and say, God, they said in their own words, they said, God, this is new for us, but we want to be baptized by your Holy Spirit so that we can be young men for Jesus Christ. Right? So let's think about this. Here's where I need two helpers. Let's have two people who haven't been up here to help me yet. And we're going to do a simple demonstration. Okay? Someone come on up. Okay? Okay? Okay, so if you can hold this here, if you can hold it this way, like this, we're going to have you come on up. Yeah. Okay. You can stand on this side. Now, you have a very dangerous spot. I'm going to warn you. Okay? I hope you're okay with that. Now, according to Scripture, when it uses the word baptize, is it saying sprinkle? Is that baptize? Is it saying pour? What's a biblical baptism? Go all the way under. Am I right? So when Jesus himself, in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, when he says, wait for the gift my Father promised, right? And he says, doesn't say you might be, he says you will be, what? Baptized. Comes from the word baptizo, means submerge. It means like this, right? Go all the way under. And one of the kids this morning said, and squeeze the water out. Right? I mean, squeeze the air out, right? So it's totally full. Okay? Now, are you ready for a dangerous job?
I guess I'm stuck with it now.
Okay. Now, I'm going to put this down, and I need you just to hold this. I got this. Okay. And you just hold this over this. Now, here's our brother here, and this represents his life as he is submerged each day with the Holy Spirit. Here is a young sister in Christ, and a younger brother, right? Okay, younger brother in Christ. I don't know don't know age, so I got to be careful here. So, and I want you just to push them a little bit. You can push their shoulder, or you can just be careful, because he's a professor. Got to be careful that you don't mess with a professor. But push him a little bit. But anytime you push him, I want you to take your hand and squeeze this, because as we get pushed in life, what comes out? So just try it and see what happens. He gets pushed a little bit, and what comes out? Is when you're full of the Holy Spirit comes out. And when you're bumped by life, like maybe she says to him, she says a bad response to something on this campus today. And if he's submerged with the Holy Spirit, then guess what happens? Out comes the fruits of the Spirit. And when he gets dry, what does he need to do again? He says to his Heavenly Father, I need what? A fresh what? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And look, I think I have one too. And so all he has to do, anytime he gets dry, when life becomes too difficult on this man, the only thing he has to do is cry out to his Heavenly Father, please, Father, send me a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then no matter what happens, these two are at him, and I come at him too, and guess what? No matter how the world rocks this man, out comes the overflow of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So let's give them a hand. Thank you very much. You had a fun job. Thank you, brother. Now, we don't need to white knuckle it with the issue of forgiveness and loving unlovely people in our families or extended families. Maybe you have an unlovely mother-in-law, an unlovely father-in-law, an unlovely child who's grown up and resents you or won't forgive you. The list goes on and on. Maybe you have an unbelieving spouse or an unbelieving kid. Right? All these things are real life for us today. Any of the above. We don't need to, I'm going to try to love them even if it kills me, and it might. Right? Or I'm going to forgive them even if it kills me. We need to do a simpler thing. We need to humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father and say, I don't have the love for this person, but you do. So would you please help me love the unlovely, forgive the undeserving, humanly speaking, or also to ask for forgiveness, even when we feel like we're in the right ourselves. We need to sometimes just ask for forgiveness anyway. Now, a couple stories to think about. This is a precious topic for me today, because just in a few days from now, a very dangerous man that harmed one of my family members is going to try to get out of prison. Yes. And here's the story in brief. My grandmother, which was like another mother to me, I had my parents are still alive, and they are fantastic parents for me. But I'm saying, on top of my parents, I had my grandma Mac Lafferty, who was like another mother, like a mother of faith, a grandmother of powerful impact on my walk with Jesus. As I grew older, she became more and more vocal about not only sharing the good news about Jesus, but sharing her own struggles of faith. That's, by the way, unfortunately, unusual today. She was a storyteller, fantastic storyteller, taught me to love to tell stories for the cause of Christ. Today, we're going so fast in our families, we're not telling very many stories. But she gave me a precious gift as I grew up. And of course, you have to always be careful, make it age appropriate, right? So when I was little, she didn't tell me, she didn't open up her soul to me. But as I grew up and got into my teens and then in my 20s, she was still alive. She began to share at different times her life story and her own struggle at times with one key issue, forgiveness. She was a woman of great love. She was a teacher, elementary school teacher. And my grandfather was a pastor and teacher at different times. He was he struggled with something that I've just discovered for myself health-wise. He had a gluten intolerance, but he didn't know it. It almost killed him for many, many years. I just discovered I have it, which of course it's passed down. I just discovered this about a year and a half ago, and explains a whole bunch of things. So I'm just learning to not love wheat, which I love with all my heart, but I'm trying not to love it because it messes my stomach up. So this precious couple went through their life and had many hard knocks. And as I grew up, my grandmother started sharing these stories. And she didn't share it like this. Donnie, I had this happen in my family, and because I'm a Christian, I just quickly forgave them and everything was hunky-dory and everything's great. You know, we do that sometimes when we tell only those kind of stories, and it doesn't help our children and our grandchildren grow, right? I mean, if that's the truth, yes, tell it, but we also should share our struggles. So she started sharing the hard times, the rough times, when people in the church over the years would sometimes hurt her very deeply, and how she would struggle with her own faith in God when such a dear brother or a dear sister would, you know, hurt her in some way. And I'd say, wow, I remember as a kid thinking, wow, even my grandma Max struggled to forgive. Wow, you know, because I looked up to her. Well, when she was in, let's see, her about 60s, they came to retirement years, and they went out to Arkansas. If you know anything about Arkansas in the United States, they went into a very primitive, very difficult part of Arkansas. Way up in the hills, where the hill country, the people there, some of them are almost like hillbillies. They weren't always so happy when my grandfather was pastoring their little Adventist church there as a retired person. He just did it to give to the people, and because he wasn't one of them, you know, and that's hard. That's a hard thing for the people. It's a hard thing for my grandparents, and so. Pretty soon he realized that they needed a new church. Their old church was just crumbling. And he knew how, with his own hands, to make bricks out of the mud. He knew how to build a house, how to build a church. And so he and my grandmother, well into their 60s, built a church for them. And with some help, but many times just them themselves, a retired couple, building this little cute little church out there in the hills. Well, shortly after all that was built, things got pretty nasty with the local people. He was just not one of them. He was not being accepted. My grandfather was a very tender-hearted man, and this grieved him very much, to the point where one night he said to my grandmother there in Arkansas, he said, "I am so thirsty. Please get me some water." She went over to get him some water, and when she came back, he was dead. He had had a massive heart attack. It just was too much. And my grandmother said, "Don," she said, "Donnie," she said, "I think he died truly of a broken heart. It was just too much on him. He gave and gave and gave, and he loved the people, but he couldn't understand why he wasn't received. He couldn't compute it, you know? So we all have limits, you know, right? Limits of what our body can handle. And it just gave it up. Well, my grandmother, really, really, that was the first major story she told me about forgiveness. And here I was in elementary school. Then she was careful. She didn't dwell too much on it, but she let me know it was a hard thing that had happened with her grandfather, or with her husband, my grandfather. And then I remember she said at the funeral, people came up and said, oh, your grandfather was such a good man. He's a wonderful man, a great preacher, and built this beautiful church for us. And she came to me and she said, Donnie, how I struggled as a pastor's wife to have the Hill people come and say these beautiful things now. And here's my husband that I was expecting to have 20, 30 years of retirement in. And he's dead. It's too late. She struggled. My grandmother was a little tiny lady. And she just, her little heart just struggled. But she gave it up to God. And God gave her the victory to love the people anyway. Praise God. That's a God thing. Not a Grandma Mac thing. It's a God thing when that happens, right? So she thought, what do I do? So she did a hard thing. She sold that little place that they had built with their own hands, their house, not the church, but sold the little home that they had built also with their own hands out in the woods. She thought, I shouldn't be out here as a lone woman way out in the woods by myself. What should I do with my time? She went all the way to Brazil to be a student missionary. Powerfully touched my heart. She said, Donnie, she said, a bad thing's happened in my life. I can't focus on it. I need to give God glory in my older years. So I'm going into missions. So she went off and lived a life of missions for the next, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 years. Incredible. Teaching kids in Brazil how to know English. She comes back on a trip, and here's the next big moment of forgiveness. And now I'm older at this point, and a young man, and she told me the story. Actually, I heard about it first, of course, that she'd had a horrible accident. But I didn't know the backstory. The backstory is that her cousin, of course, also an older man at this point, they were so happy to meet each other out in California, and they were riding together to see some family event, and there was a railroad track. You already know what's going to happen. And of course, the cousin says to her, I can beat that train across. And she said, I see it coming. Do not do it. She said, we're both in our older years. We can wait 5 or 10 minutes until it goes past. Please, wait for the train. Oh, no, he said. That's silly. I can step on it and get across. And so he got on the tracks and he stepped on it and it stalled. The train came. My little grandma swings her little legs out the door and she's in the process of running out and the train impacts the car. My little grandma goes sailing through the air. Her cousin, somehow comes out unscathed. Of course. Doesn't this happen sometimes? It's crazy. He comes out, fine. My little grandma is broken up in a body cast, and she loses some of her toes. They have to amputate some of her toes. She comes out, and now I'm a young man, and she tells me, I have resentment towards my cousin. She says, and this was even deeper than the Hill story. She said, this is my body. And she said, I've taken care of it. I've tried to eat healthily. I've tried to do all these things. And I told my foolish cousin not to do this. And now my own flesh and blood, my family, did a stupid thing and I'm paying for it and he's not. And she poured her heart out. And I'm a young man. I thought, wow, this forgiveness thing, this is a hard thing. Even for my precious grandma who's challenged me to be a young man in the Word, and to be faithful to God and true, and she is struggling with forgiveness again. Wow, what's going to happen? And I was impacted when she also surrendered these feelings of resentment to the Lord Jesus. And God gave her grace to love the cousin who had hurt her in such a terrible way. Powerful lesson. Last forgiveness story. Now she's about 88 in this story. And it was the end of the 90s, or somewhere in the 90s, or first of the 90s, I guess. And she's 88 years old. And she's back from Brazil. She survived the train wreck, which was amazing in itself. She's still walking. They got those legs going again. And now she doesn't have her two little baby toes, so she's a little bit tottery, but she doesn't have quite the same balance. But she's trucking around. And so she goes and she stays with my uncle and aunt down in National City, California. And one early Sunday morning, she's thinking, 88 years old, she's thinking, I've got to do something for Jesus. I don't want to just sit here and sip my lemonade. I want to go down and pack up some clothes and send them to Brazil for the little children there that need clothes. So she's still a pretty strong little lady. She gathers up some things in a basket and off she trots early Sunday morning. She's an early riser, early Sunday morning to the Seventh-day Adventist Church in National City. She heads down there. She gets all the way almost up to the courtyard. She doesn't know that there's eyes watching her. Eyes. A big man is watching her. But she's all in her little world. She's thinking about missions. She's thinking about helping the little kids. She loves kids. And so she's just thinking about children. And she's not looking around. She's not thinking about worrying about anything. She survived snakes in Brazil. And she survived being on a motorcycle with us grandkids. She survived everything. She's not worried about anything, unfortunately. So she walks along and she almost gets up to the door when all of a sudden, boom, a big man tackles this little tiny grandma, throws her to the ground and rapes her and beats her up and tries, they told the police later said it's obvious on her body that he has tried to kill her at least three ways. Strangulation, all kinds of ways. Terrible, terrible thing. That's enough of that. And little children that she told stories to in Sabbath school find her hours later, and she looks like a little rag doll, you know, just like a heap of rags, like a nothing, you know, just kind of just thrown out there. And they come up and they say, Mrs. Mack, that's what they called her, Grandma Mack, is that you? Yeah, she says she can barely talk. Yes, it's me, call 911. And so the little children run, praise the Lord, they run to mommy and daddy and they call 911. And the ambulance comes, they scoop her up, pick her all up. She is bruised and bloody and messed up. Poor little lady. She's just, you know, just torn up. Take her to the hospital, and praise God, she survives that attack. She's a survivor. But she has nightmares night after night after night. And again, she decides to tell me, as a mentor in our extended family, Dawn, once again, I struggle with hating somebody. It's my attacker. I don't ever want to see that man ever again. Every night I see him in my nightmares. I am terrified and I struggle to forgive this man. How can I forgive a man who at 88 years old did this to me? She said, Dawn, she said, I know Jesus is big enough, but it's hard for me to think of how can Jesus help me forgive such a beast? And yet, I watched as my grandmother humbled herself before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I watched month by month as she wrestled every day, every night, I should say, with nightmares. I watched as she released her hate and bitterness to the Lord Jesus and received an unbelievable gift from heaven, the ability to forgive. But then the test came. They caught the man. And then, of course, they wanted my little grandma to testify. Oh, I don't want to testify, she said. I don't want to see him ever again, she said. Oh, but you must testify. We have discovered, we think that he has done this to many women and that you are the last one. Oh, she prayed and prayed, and finally she said, okay, I'll go. But the doctors examined her and said, it only can be a couple minutes because it'd be too hard on her little heart, you know, just too strenuous. So they took her in front of the whole courtroom. This was, by the way, on national news, or at least a state news. It was a huge thing because of the crime and to an aged person. She was there, and she already knew as this man, big, big beast of a guy, bulging muscles, big, powerful man, between two guards, shackled, comes in with chains, comes in there, and for the first time since the attack, she faces him across the room, not beside her, of course, and across the room, they say, Mrs. McLafferty, you have just a couple of minutes. We will not bother you anymore. What do you have to say? You can say anything you want about that man. And she looks out across to him, and she looks up to heaven. She looks back at him, and she says, to you, I have one word or one message. She said, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you. And Jesus Christ still loves you. Praise the Lord. That rocked my world as a young man and rocks my world still today. And even when a couple of years ago something happened that in my life where someone really, really hurt my heart, I still remembered my grandmother saying those words in my mind from years ago, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive you. She didn't have the power, but in Jesus' power, she forgave the unforgivable. Wow! Impact. Right before she died, she said, Donnie, she said, come to the place where this attack happened. I said, no, that's okay. I don't need to see it. No, come. You need to come and see this place. Why, Grandma? I said, I know the story. I don't want to even see it. You know what I'm saying? Would you want to see the place where it happened? I didn't want to see it even. She said, come with me. And the last walk we took, she tottered along on those faith-filled feet all the way down to the church, just the way she went that morning. She took me right into the courtyard. She took me right to the place. She said, this is where I was attacked. This is where I almost lost my life. This is where God had mercy on me and spared my life. I said, we walked into about 12 feet from about me to this lady right here, if you can raise your hand. Just imagine about that distance right into the church from the courtyard. And there's a grand piano right there. And I play the piano. I said, Grandma, what song can I play you? She said, great is thy faithfulness. Grandma. I said, what did you say? You want me to play the song, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father. You know that song? I said, how can I play that when 12 feet away this happened? Without missing a beat, she said, because God was still faithful to me. Even in the attack, God was still my God. And He is today. And, as you remember, He was faithful to give me the gift to forgive my attacker. So, the last song she and I sung, we sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Her little quavery voice and my big bombastic voice, we filled up a big empty church with singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The power of God's forgiveness in the home goes across the years like a pebble in the pond and goes and goes and goes. And I ask you in the name of Jesus, whoever you need to forgive or to ask for forgiveness, remember that when you are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is a work that the Holy Spirit does in and through you. It's not by your power or by the strength of your love that you and I do these things. It's by the power of the Lord Jesus through the promise of the Holy Spirit to us. Amen? So I'm going to close the session with an invitation. The invitation is simple. If you are someone who is convicted on this afternoon that there's somebody in your life you need to ask to forgive you or you need to extend forgiveness to, someone that doesn't, quote, frankly, deserve your forgiveness. Someone who's hurt you, and maybe they've never asked, and maybe they never will ever say, I'm sorry to you. The attacker never apologized. He has 3 life sentences, and he hopes to be out in 2 weeks. And he might be. And I can tell you that God has done a work in my heart because I hated that man for a while. I had a great anger towards him as a young man. And then the Lord Jesus did a surgery in my heart, according to Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, and cut out that and gave me a new heart. And I only have one concern in 2 weeks, that man will find salvation in Jesus Christ so that he and I can sit down at the same table. And I will say, Alleluia, and that's it. And that's only, I'm not a good forgiver. He's a good forgiver. He has the power, and so He does for you. If you're someone who needs that gift, and you need the blessing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you forgive or love somebody, I invite you just to come up here and join me. I'm going to close with prayer. And if you can't be on your knees, you can sit on a chair up front here. I'm going to get on my knees. If you're able to get on your knees, you're welcome to get on your knees. Dear God in heaven, we come to you with surrender. We don't really have much to offer you at all except for our huge need for you, Jesus, and for the gift that you promised us, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we humble ourselves before you right now, and anyone here that wants to can just be agreeing with this prayer in your hearts. And I know I want to ask you for a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit. This comes to anyone who asks, believes, and also repents, according to Acts 2. And all in that area of 38 through 40, they can look it up later. But God, anybody in this room right now who asks for this gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, believes that you really promised it to them, and is willing to just say, God, I confess my sins, and by your grace I turn from them, then you give us this gift. And so we're asking for that right now. And there's many that came up here right now that also need to have your power in them to make things right with somebody, to either ask for forgiveness for somebody they have hurt, or to forgive, to offer forgiveness. It doesn't mean that the people that hurt them did a right thing. No. Sin is sin, and abuse is abuse, and all these things are horrible things that the world has done against your people. But it means being free from resenting them, free from having bitterness towards them, free from hating them. Hallelujah for this. What you did for my grandmother, you do through countless ages for millions of Christians around the world. People in Rwanda who have their family wiped out in genocide have been able to forgive through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can right here at this camp on this day receive the gift of forgiveness and pass it on. We praise your name for this. Bless each one of us here. Refresh us with a fresh baptism of your Spirit. Empower us now as we go out across camp. Maybe some of us need to make a phone call. Maybe some of us need to make things right with somebody right here on campus. Let it be so, and let it be a testimony that our God still lives and he is very present on this campus. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now, quick challenge. If you want a challenge, do you want a challenge? Do you want a challenge? Some of you are like, I don't know if I want a challenge. I just want to come and listen to a seminar and run. I'm sorry, you got the wrong seminar then. Every time you come here, you will receive a challenge. Is that okay? So the challenge between now and tomorrow is, in private, take the promise of Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, and go and pray privately for that gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Will you just do that? Just pray privately. If God brings to your mind something you need to repent of, repent, because repentance is actually a move by the Spirit of God in your heart to make more room so you can even receive more of this blessing. So don't white knuckle it. Don't just try. But as he brings things to your mind, just say, God, it's yours. God, it's yours. Just whatever he says, it's yours. And receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first part of the challenge. And then number two, of course, is if there's somebody in your life you need to ask to forgive you or to extend forgiveness to, I ask you in the name of Jesus, do not let this day, this next 24 hours, pass you by. I did not come here to this camp to create comfort. Yeah, I came in the name of Jesus after much, much prayer. My wife and I prayed and prayed. It was right after the last camp meeting. And I knew, humanly speaking, I should be home. But the Lord Jesus said, there's a work here. And so I'm calling you in the name of Jesus. Forgive in his name. And actually ask for miracles. And if any of you here need to be prayed with, in a heartbeat, I'll pray with any of you. Between now and supper, tomorrow morning, anytime you see me on campus, you can just pull me over or I'll stay here for a few minutes. And if you need to be prayed with, I've had many people pray with me. At times I could not forgive somebody. People pray with me that God could do this miracle in my heart so I could forgive. So we can do this as brothers and sisters. God bless you. God keep you. May his face shine upon you. And tomorrow we'll go into the next step of what God can do in our families. Precious, precious things. We'll zero in tomorrow on the Elijah message. the Elijah message of Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And what can fathers and mothers do to turn their hearts back to children, even children who have left our home, left our church, left God? What can we do? God bless you. See you tomorrow.